The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 57, New Best Friends Review.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts, Brian and Ruthie.
Okay, well, welcome back. Hello, I'm Ruthie, and this is another episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through.
And I'm Brian.
And I had my mic muted. Oh my gosh. Woo! And tonight we are here to discuss Season 7, Episode 10, New Best Friends. This episode was written by Channing Powell and directed by Jeffrey F. January. Why don't you give us some news rating and info, Brian?
All right.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
For the second episode in a row, I have info. So, other than the fact that we were late last time, but that was info about the last episode. Hopefully, we won't be so late this time. So two things I got about this episode. Norman Reedus was on this week's Walker Stalkers podcast, the people that put together the Walker Stalker Con. Of course, they had the podcast before the convention, so funny how that worked out. But anyway, they interviewed Norman Reedus, and he said a couple of things that I took note of. There were a bunch of takes where Daryl touched the cuts on Morgan's face, but they used the one where he didn't, which I thought was interesting. But the most interesting thing that I took note of was that they cut a scene where Daryl fed Shiva, because as you saw, he was getting along quite well with Shiva, and maybe that's why. I thought I'd let Scratchy Boy stop scratching. I don't know if you could hear that or not.
Oh, yeah, I heard it.
Okay. The second info piece has to do with the fight scene. And it turns out some people had speculated that it was inspired by Mad Max, specifically the third installment, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, which I don't really remember much about, except for the song that came out of it from Tina Turner.
We don't need another hero.
Exactly.
I love that song. I love that movie. And they're probably talking about Thunderdome. Thunderdome was the fight where two men in tow, one man leave.
Yes. Well, it was, in fact, inspired by Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. And one thing that is of note, production designer Grace Walker, which I discovered while I was researching him today, that his actual name is Graham. How he got the nickname of Grace, I don't know. But he was also the production designer for Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. So, small world, but he's Australian, so, you know, stands to reason, right? Okay, ratings, and unfortunately, every time that there's a holiday on Monday, ratings are delayed. We record normally, we didn't last week, but we normally record Tuesday nights. We are recording Tuesday night. So, and of course, President's Day was yesterday. So even though I don't get that day off, no ratings are available until Wednesday. So I will post them up on the Facebook group when I see them come through. But I do have the live plus three ratings for the mid-season premiere Rock in the Road. And I will skip the 25 to 54 this time. Actually, when it comes to live plus three, the website that I get it from, they don't even post those. 18 to 49 and total viewers only.
Or bust.
Yes. So The Walking Dead was up 2 full points, a 35% increase in the 18 to 49 from a 5.7 to a 7.7. And that brought them, they were up a total of, I didn't do the percentages on this, I should have looked. Went from 11.996 million to 15.932 million, a 3.917 million increase. So pretty good. Talking Dead was also up, but much more modestly, up 0.3 in the 18 to 49 from a 2.2. And another stupid thing, this site only gives one decimal place on the ratings. So I get it from another, I get the live ones normally two decimal places. So if you hear me say a different figure, that's why. From a 2.2 to a 2.5 and up 789,000 viewers from 4.809 million live to 5.598 million in the live plus 3 days after it aired. And that makes The Walking Dead and Talking Dead the number one and number two cable shows last week. All right. So my first news item, I'm gonna put a nice little kibosh on it. Many fans are complaining from this week about the shots where we see Rick standing over a wide backdrop of the garbage dump, which I have to say it clearly looks like a matte painting. Reminds me of something you'd see like looking at the Borg Collective in this vast thing, or, you know.
Ooh, I was going to say Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's they had good. The went into that warehouse. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yes. Anyway, it was clearly a matte painting. You could tell, but, you know, that doesn't bother me really. But for some reason, it bothered a lot of people that they saw a flying object go rather fast to the right of Rick's head. And I'm going to throw the kibosh on it because I specifically went looking for this today. And there were many, many birds in the two shots, the one before the fight and one after the fight. There were many birds, and there were birds flying around at the same time that this one bird, I'm sorry, I don't think it was an airplane, this one bird was flying a little higher than the rest. So, sorry, people. You're making a mountain of a molehill. Uh-huh. No pun intended. Okay, pun intended. All right. So, last week we mentioned, well, it's not last week to you, but we recorded last week. Sorry again. We'll be better. Fear the Walking Dead's return. We talked about it. We said it was going to be summer. Well, in the passage that plays a little bit every episode, the webisodes, it said at the end of it that Fear the Walking Dead is returning in June.
So definitely summer.
So definitely summer. So I did some math, and now normally Walking Dead was premiered a little late this year, most likely because of the Olympics. So let's assume that it goes back to its more normal time. So I'm figuring that to be the 15th of October. If you project that back 16 weeks, you will get that that Fear the Walking Dead would premiere and it would run 16 weeks consecutively June 25th. So What I'm saying is it's definitely June 25th or a week or two earlier, depending on whether they want to have a break or not. So that is my prediction, and I'm sticking to it. And I think it's pretty solid considering they said it's June. So I've got a 1-4 chance to be right. last thing, I'll mention that today, actually, I didn't give her credit in the Facebook group. I'll change that after we record. But Laura posted on another Facebook group that we both belong to that good old Aaron, a.k.a. Ross Marquand, did a Q&A on Facebook. And it was about 15, 16 minutes or so. But it was very interesting and very entertaining. So if you go to the Facebook group, which of course is facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM, there is a link to it. So check it out. Primark. I have no idea what chain this is, but some chain called Primark has pulled a Negan-themed t-shirt from its stores as some complain that it was racist. And the phrase shown was eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and with a bat with barbed wire. Now, depending on how old you are, you may know that, you know, the second line over time has changed, and now people say catch a tiger by its toe. Well, it used to say catch an N-word. So I won't finish that, but so Primark, under pressure, decided to pull it.
Interesting.
And that's it, except for one thing that we didn't mention 2 weeks ago. Train to Busan. Watch that movie. It's fantastic. It is a Korean zombie film. Fast zombies, highly recommended. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to our talk through ratings for this week's episode.
All right. Originally, in first watch, I absolutely love this episode, and I gave it a 9.7. However, in subsequent watches, some of the things about it kind of annoyed me. Specifically, actually, one of the things that I kind of liked originally. So I kind of softened on it a little bit. So it went from a 9.7 to a 9.2. 9.2 garbage dump gladiator battles. And for that, I must say,
are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
That's, of course, from good old Gladiator, Russell Crowe. You could also call it Porcupine Armed Walkers, 9.2. Porcupine Armed Walkers, which we know now is 9.2 Winslows. But I could also say 9.2 Badly Needed Tetanus Shots.
Ugh. No kidding. That's all I could think about. I was like, oh, gosh. Gonna get infected.
Yeah. So I thought it was an amazing episode on a lot of levels. And one thing that was a little bit of a miss, but it made me feel really good. These first two episodes were quite good and makes me hopeful for the rest of the half season.
All right. Well, I'm going to give it 8.9. No longer sympathetic dicks.
Ooh.
As in Richard, you know. Thank you. The nickname for Richard.
Yes.
Okay. Just checking. Just making sure. All right. Next, we're going to say Kyle tells us 8 out of 10 Wirecat figurines.
And also with 8 out of 10, Dieta said, love this episode. I give it 8 out of 10. Take him to the up up. Then push him into the pit of rubbish.
Oh, that's funny. All right, let's move on to our awesome sauce. Awesome sauce.
Okay.
What you got?
Apparently, a lot of people over the break were missing you saying awesome sauce. So I caught that a few places. Twitter, on Facebook. Yeah. So there were many awesome things about this episode that I can't list them all. And thankfully, our listeners pitched in and gave some of them. So I took those off. But of course, the awesome fight with Winslow, the spiked guy, is my first awesome sauce. And how could I not make it awesome?
I don't know.
For me, I didn't really have a whole bunch of awesome stuff, but I will start with the music when we are introduced to the landfillers, as I'm calling them, because I can't remember what they called them on Talking Dead. And if they didn't call them that in the episode, then I can call them whatever the heck I want to. I thought that it was very trippy and off-putting, and I liked it. I felt like it was very fitting for what was happening in the scene.
And very fitting for the eccentric people that they are. For sure. All right. Well, my next awesome sauce was also awesome and very awesome and awesome. And that were had to... That was, were, whatever, because there's multiple of them.
Those were.
Thank you. my co-host is a grammar taskmaster. I didn't want to say mistress. Yes. Yes.
Yes, I am a very stern task mistress.
So, Daryl and Carol's scenes, they were so well acted. That first one, especially when Carol opens the door and sees Daryl, I you know, doesn't take me much, of course, but I did cry a little bit. And I can feel the heartbreak of Daryl's question, why'd you go? Anyway, those two are excellent. And in general, that was awesome.
Yeah. Agree. I think all the other awesome sauci that I have are already mentioned. So
okay,
go do your next one.
Well, my last one that no one else had put down was I gave one to Gabriel for not being a rat fink. And I love the conversation there between Gabriel and Rick after the deal was made, thing where Rick said that, you know, enemies can become friends, and, you know, it's understood between the two of them that obviously those two were very adversarial, at the start. And now, he trusts them with his life, both and vice versa. Anyway, Gabriel we've said it before, it's been an amazing transformation.
Yeah. Definitely so. Okay, Kyle says, my awesome sauce is Daryl and Shiva being all BFFs. Seriously, Daryl can do no wrong. He also gets a crossbow back, and it's like another reunion that we've all been waiting for. I was also going to say when Shiva licks Daryl's hand.
Yeah. And I had mentioned Daryl and Shiva, and I had mentioned Daryl got a crossbow, but I took them off when I saw Kyle's awesome sauce I, or sauce A and B. All right. Well, Dieta has an awesome sauce, and it also was one that I had. It was Daryl threatening Richard. If she even catches a cold, I will kill you. Actually, I think what he said is catches a fever, but
yeah, if she catches a fever, she gets hit by lightning.
Yeah. Anyway, to that, I wrote down, Richard, that was pretty damn cold of you. And you were going to use Carol as a target? Daryl ain't having that.
Yeah, I had a lot more to say about that, so I will save that for the discussion.
All right.
Next, we have Awesome Sauce from Alex, who is a new Facebook member and listener of ours. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. Who says, tears of love for the Carol-Daryl reunion. Also, Snowman semi-trailer. Now, TWD and Archer are finally connected. Danger zone.
Yeah, and welcome, Alex. Actually, I also noticed that she put a nice little message on her own Facebook page telling people how wonderful our podcast is. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
Yay. In fact, maybe as first-time contributor for saying such a lovely thing, you get our showcase winner. Welcome, Alex. We hope to hear from you lots, and we love you. We hardly know you, but we love you.
Aww, I'm getting the feels.
Yeah.
All right. As we have no more awesome sauce, let's move on to the other one.
You're worthless and weak.
Also known as weak sauce.
I never get tired of hearing that. Twisted Sister. anyway.
Oh my gosh. Yes, we're old.
That's yes, okay. Yes. Children of the 80s. Always. Okay, so I had to ask. With the whole garbage dump and the people, which apparently their official name is the Scavengers, and that was mentioned on Talking Dead, according to Pollyanna McIntosh, I believe. But I also heard on one of the prepared, like, inside the episodes things, Scott M. Gimple called them the Scavengers.
Yeah, so we got that information from Talking Dead, not the episode. So
yes. So the question that I have is, did we just watch a new, you know, society from The Walking Dead or Star Trek The Next Generation? And, listening to these people, and, you know, if this is the first time you're listening to us, you know, oh, well, you wouldn't know this, but those of you who have been listening to us for quite a while, you know, we're both very, very big Star Trek fans. And I even have, Star Trek connection from 21 years ago, sold a Deep Space Nine story. So anyway, so these people, the Scavengers, and the weird way they were speaking, but not just that, names for people that, you know, Breon and Tamiel or something like that. They are not normal names. They are not, you know, earthling names. So several things, you know, popped into my head. And, of course, their weird way of speaking. First, they bring up the collective. So that is, of course,
we are the Borg. You will be assimilated. Resistance is futile.
And then, of course,
biological and technological
distinctiveness will be added.
Distinctiveness will be. Yes. Thank you. Gosh, I always forget that word. Anyway.
But then they have this simple way of speaking. So that reminds me of,
we are Paklets. Our ship is the Mondor. It is broken.
Samaritan snare. And then, of course, one of a classic Next Generation episode, but also very fitting for these people.
Darmok and Villard at Tanagra.
Yes. Okay. There was an episode during the epic crossover between Arrow Flash and Legends and the one little blurb they had on Supergirl. Felicity is on the time machine, the Wave Rider, and they jump, and she says Darmok and Villard at Tanagra, and I lost my mind. I was like, oh my God! Because apparently what happened is, in case anyone didn't know, you can get some kind of like, I think it's called aphasia or dysplasia or something like that with your words, where you're saying words that don't make sense. It can happen to stroke victims as well. And so she, everything, nothing that she was saying made any sense. And she was saying nonsense words and words that didn't mean what she was trying to say. And it was hilarious because everything out of her mouth, she was like, and I can't remember if she could tell that she wasn't communicating the right way and that no one could understand her or anything, but those words came out of her mouth. And that's why, because she was having this problem with her speech thing because of the time machine. It's one of the side effects. And it was hilarious. I just had to say that because it's really funny.
All I have to say is hopefully in this upcoming war with the saviors, we see Shaka when the walls fell.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes, Darmok is a wonderful episode of Next Generation, where this alien race called the Temerians speak in metaphor. So it is so bizarre, but it's a wonderful episode. Anyway, yeah, but
it's really brilliant though, because if you think about it, you know all the words, but you don't know any of the meaning, because if you don't know the references, then how are you going to communicate? So I thought that was a particularly brilliant episode as well.
It was, you know, everything is, you know, them sort of.
Because they've got the universal translator. So they understand the words. They don't understand the language. So Sorry. Yeah.
So they're talking about, basically they're saying, well, you know, hey, you know this story? Hey, you know that story? And that's literally what it is. And anyway, now, of course, the scavengers weren't talking like this, but they were. The thing that got me is that, you know, what, 3 years maybe has passed?
Yeah, I was thinking like 18 months.
Okay, well, still.
Not that long.
Well, okay. Even so, even more so if it's 18 months.
I can't remember. Let me Google the timeline.
So this society has completely changed how they speak. And you know, the use of basically gestures and that for their language, the strange ways they would say things, you know, short, to the point, meaningful, but yet strange. And you know, they were all weirdly black. And I noticed a lot of mullets. I don't know why. But there were a lot of very blank looking people walking around. And anyway, so I had to wonder, like, you know, you could see something like that happening, you know, like we mentioned Mad Max. There's kind of a form of that a little bit in that. But, you know, the 100, we see that, you know, the people that, you know, live on the Earth. I'm way behind on the 100, but still, you know, a new language kind of evolves over, you know, kind of using English as a basis. But anyway, it's only 18 months, 3 years, 5 years at the very most.
So it's 633 days, according to the Walking Dead Wikia, which is 1.73 or so years. So a little over 18 months, more like 21 or something.
Yeah.
But in other words, not quite 2 years. And we've already developed our own language. I had this as my weak sauce as well. I thought they created their own way of speaking already. Like, I can see that after like 20 years, but it seems a little soon, I thought as well. And I didn't mind it so much the first time around, but the second time around, it kind of bugged me.
Yeah, that's exactly how it was the first time I watched it. Like I said, it was a 9.7, but in that second and subsequent watches, it just it was almost like the writer who was Channing Powell on this. It's like she was auditioning for to write on Star Trek Enterprise, or sorry, not Enterprise, Star Trek Discovery. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's not the case, but it was so similar to many of the alien races that you see in Star Trek. I couldn't help but draw the parallel. Like, even another example, the way the Belters speak in The Expanse. That's another show I'm a little behind on. But, you know, that they built up a language. But, you know, I think a few hundred years has passed since now. So you could expect that, but not with these people. It's just too much for me. Okay, so my second and final weak sauce. Why did Daryl lie to Carol? And I kind of get it, but I guess the reason why I asked the question has to do with how I am perplexed about Carol's attitude. And, you know, some of the things she says, like, if this happened, I would act, but, you know, then nothing would be left of me. And it's kind of like, well, okay, nothing left of the old you, but you were a timid, mousy person. Why would you want to keep that? So, you know, I'm just bringing up a point that a lot of people have brought up over the last two seasons. I want to see Carol snap out of this and people stop kind of, pussyfooting their way around. And, you know, she's got to snap out of it. I mean, her people are in danger. Several of her, you know, friends are dead. And she doesn't even know about it because nobody wants to tell her. It's terrible, I think. It's a terrible way to live.
Yeah. We'll talk about this more, I'm sure.
All right. Sure.
Okay. Well, Kyle also gave us a weak sauce. He said, Daryl and Carol's reunion, I didn't pick as my awesome sauce because I'm picking it as my weak sauce. Because I want Carol back. Rambo Carol. To avenge the deaths of her loved ones. I guess I don't like seeing Carol so broken. I want her to be my strong superhero archetype. While, yes, she would have low or tough moments, I just worry that they might do something stupid with her character. Also, do you think that she already knew that people from her group were dead and that she wanted Daryl to lie to her? Like she just needed to hear it or something? Anyway, I'm sure you'll all have some interesting conversations about that little scene. I'm sure we will.
And as I probably shouldn't even gave that last week's sauce because it was pretty much identically the same as what you just said, Kyle, in many ways, or pretty close. So, yeah, you know where I stand. I agree with you.
Yep. All right. Okay. Yes, we are going to now move into our episode discussion / feedback section. Depending on how much feedback we get, we like to talk about what you guys talk about first before we talk about what we want to talk about so we don't end up repeating ourselves and all that jazz. So,
we can talk about it.
Done talking. Time to listen.
All right. So, we have some feedback from last week's Walking Dead episode that apparently we just accidentally missed. So sorry. But it's from Reese, and Reese says, I think Gabriel was in distress when he left, so I don't think he was planning to leave. I think the person in boots is a member of the group at the end, and they forced Gabriel to leave. Rick trusts Gabriel, and I don't think Gabriel would want to put that in jeopardy by making the decision to take all of their food and giving it to strangers without telling anyone else in the group. And congratulations, you were right!
Yeah, you nailed it, Reese Nicole, or I don't know. Do you go by Reese or do you go by Nicole or do you go by Reese Nicole? I don't know, but you nailed it.
Yep, indeed. All right, let's get right into our feedback stuff for this week.
All right. Well, our first one is actually a collection of tweets from our Twitter friend, Ken from Chicago.
Yeah, it was blowing up my phone and I was trying to ignore because I watched the episode a little bit late.
So first he's speaking of, I figured out after the fact, Richard. He said, welcome Spencer 2.0, twice as brave but twice as stupid.
I agree with that.
Then a little while later, he I guess this is when Ezekiel was visiting Carol. Ma'am, Ms., Mrs., you can shut up now.
That was funny.
That was funny. And then he says, wow, upbeat music on Walking Dead. Just like an early start of last season. Then he says, hashtag, it's a trap.
It's a trap.
There's one I need to collect as a soundbite. And then he says, with the same, well, no, I guess it's not, but sound effects. He says, someone's working overtime on that fire crackling audio effects. And then speaking of, you know, Carol and what Daryl lies to her, he says, obvious setup for a lie for the later reveal. And then hashtag, it's a trap again. And he ends that with, and still no Carol Daryl. Then I'll have to spell it out. So it's the, what do they call those things?
Shipper name.
Yeah. Shipper name, Carol, C-A-R-Y-L, or Daryl, D-A-R-O-L. Hashtag boo.
I guess we know where his heart lies. Yes, I am sad for you, but happy for me, because I don't want that to happen ever. Ever. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
This is from my good, longtime, dear friend, one of my best friends in the whole world, Jeff. And I can say that even though I haven't seen him in years. He says, I guess he didn't care for this episode too much. He says, it's starting to fade, and so am I.
Mm.
With a, what would you call that emoji? Kind of a straight-lipped emoji? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what you call that. Like a ho-hum emoji? I don't know. Yeah,
ho-hum. That's good. And then he says, hopefully things pick up. So, anyway. Hi, Jeff. How you doing? Say hi to Allison for me.
Hi, Jeff. All right.
He could tell, much like Kyle could tell me some dirt about you, Jeff could tell you some dirt about me.
Awesome, awesome. And speaking of Kyle, he gives us our next bit of feedback. Daryl and Carol, OMG. And he didn't tell her? Well, this back season is getting real. And I'm enjoying it so much. After the first half and the bleakness, this is becoming a great joy to watch. Almost what we have been waiting for. I hope it continues. Negan's men, when they come to get supplies from the kingdom and start being a-holes, or at least the one dude trying to get the gun from Richard, I can't wait for some of them, if not all the power-hungry jerks, to get it in the end. And I do hope we see that. But you know those types of people, if not worse, would exist in the apocalypse. And last, the new trash compactor group. I really don't know about it. I get that we need more people, that we need the group to find other allies. But this whole, we've been living in a dump all this time and we don't bother. But they obviously bother because they bothered to kidnap Gabe because they wanted the stuff from the boat. Or was that their stuff? The whole thing doesn't make sense other than to help move the story forward. And while cool, Winslow was a bit stupid. I don't get how that was a test and Rick passed it. It seemed very cheesy and stupid. Like, oh, okay, you survived by knocking down all the garbage around you to bury the walker. Oh, and not to mention, sorry for knocking you down to fight in the pit. It's just what we do when we're bored. Thanks for the help. Okay, friends? Oh, but BFFs once you get us some guns. Just a bit silly. And obviously, Tara will have to give up her secret of Oceanside because they all have the guns. And oh, Rick does seem to know that Tara has been the farthest out, so of course she would probably know where all the gun stashes. But that she didn't bring back with her from the last trip would be. Just seems a bit of lazy writing going on. But overall, I am looking forward to what's next. So hopefully they can get in some surprises because it's starting to become predictable.
Yeah, so I had a few things to say about Kyle's quotes, although I only wrote one down in the notes. First of all, I would say that I think it's kind of stupid of them. And when I say stupid, I mean nonsensical to allow. They know that there's this stash out there on this boat and they wait, what, months, years to get this stuff? And they don't bother to like actually try to get the stuff off the boat. They have to wait until someone comes along and finds it. That's crazy. you would never do that, especially if, you know, things are in short supply, as she, Jadis kind of inferred, like she says, you know, the cans are, you know, some of the cans are rotten, you know, and that kind of stuff. I mean, that's crazy. They would obviously, you know, anyone in their right mind would try to salvage it themselves if they had any kind of expertise to do so. So that's crazy. Now,
what do you mean?
What do I mean?
They would try and salvage it themselves.
Yeah, they waited for Rick and Aaron to come by to find the boat to actually, you know, attempt to salvage the boat and get the items off the boat. They rather than, you know, get the stuff off the boat themselves. They waited who knows how long. Weeks, months, years seem like a very long time.
Well, not more than 1 year. I mean, not longer, more than 2 years. Yeah,
not more than 600 and whatever you said days.
33.
Yeah. But still, a very, you know, long time for that. That seems crazy to me.
Longer than I would wait.
Yeah.
It does seem a bit far-fetched. I don't understand. I agree with you, Kyle. The whole we take, we don't bother. I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense to me either. And you're right. They did bother because they bothered to take Gabriel. I mean, I guess they took him too, but take, but no, I mean, I just, it's that whole way of speaking. I don't really understand. I guess Rick understands them, but I don't know. But my main thing that I wanted to talk to you about was the whole Savior is getting stuff from the kingdom. And I don't get it, honestly. I don't understand this whole setup thing that they've got going on, because Gavin seems like a reasonable guy, but Prick, as I call him, that I later learned his name was Jared.
Jared, yeah.
Is obviously a typical Savior. So anyway, I don't understand why Gavin seems reasonable, but Jared is the typical I'm a douchebag bully kind of a guy, you know, and it's clear that to me, if I wanted things to continue to go smoothly, I would have left Jared at home after the first meeting that we saw. So we see that meeting with them and Jared and Richard get into it. And Gavin, who seems like a reasonable, smart guy, doesn't leave Jared at home. Like, why would you not leave Jared at home? You're like, look, man, I can't have you, like, messing this crap up or whatever. And it just... Bear in mind, I don't understand the Saviors anyway. I don't understand that kind of subjugation. But to me, it seems like if you want people to work for you without having to, you know, exert much effort, then you would want things to go smoothly. And having a guy around who's basically an a-hole is not going to facilitate things going smoothly, which is exactly what happened this time. And
yeah. I agree with you. I would take it further.
Because I'm right.
Oh, you're definitely right. Because I would say if you have to, you know, work an arrangement with the Saviors and you were able to pick any outpost, I'm going to pick Gavin's outpost because, like you said, he seems to be the most reasonable, you know, Savior in charge that we've seen. And, he, you know, maybe in the coming battle, maybe Gavin might be, someone that could be turn to the light. Who knows? But
I
certainly
wouldn't go that far.
Well, but you certainly can't do that. Say that with Jared, who looks, you know, is like
just a bully. That's all he Negan. Wants to do is just bully. Yeah.
Yeah. Baby Negan with long hair. He's just he's awful. And, you know, I can see that the next time there is a drop off, I would put, you know, 50-50 on things going horribly wrong, and I would put 90% of that probability because of Jared.
Yeah. I believe Ezekiel when he says he's going to leave Richard at home. I believe that he will do that because he wants things to go smoothly as well. I don't understand why Gavin doesn't, you know, say or doesn't, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do the same, basically, kind right. of a thing. And just, you know, and it was kind of funny when he was like, get up, idiot. Right before he said his name, he was like, I can't remember what he called him. I don't know. Get up, jerk, or something. It was funny. But I just thought, well, that's all well and good, but you aren't going to do anything to solve the problem. It just kind of seemed counterproductive, I guess. And I do agree. I think that something will happen. And this time they can't blame it on Richard because I don't think he'll be there because he's going to be dead because Daryl going to kill him.
Yeah, because you know, she caught a fever and I'll kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, frankly, I don't know how he's going to do if he ain't around. So,
yeah. There. I want to talk briefly about something he said in this next section. The whole, what he calls, and brilliant name, by the way, Kyle, the Trash Compactor Group. I love that. you know, what is the story behind Winslow? So Winslow was a dude that obviously, you know, died and became a walker. And how did they spike-ify Winslow? And why, if he's not there as some kind of, you know, gladiator champion, which Jada said that he wasn't?
I think you are trying to apply logic where there isn't any. Because I had a brief fleeting thought about the same thing, but then I was like, well, they named him, but I don't think that he's necessarily one of them. I think they just, they named him the way sometimes people give names to things that they don't. I mean, for random reasons, I don't know. People do weird things all the time, but to me, it just kind of seemed like I have no idea why they would name him. I can't explain very much about these people, but again, like I said, I think that you can't apply logic necessarily to them. So,
yeah. So basically,
who knows? I said, who knows?
So basically, the question of how did Winslow get spikes and all that? I know someone that has a response.
Rhetorical, okay?
That I don't think will get old for a little while.
At least for a little while. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. Tara was the other thing I was going to mention. And, you know, obviously, you know, she had a chance to, you know, say something right there about the Oceanside, you know, that she knows where all the guns are. And
you blew it. You blew it. You blew it. You blew it. You had it all and you blew it.
It's definitely. I almost gave you a weak sauce, Tara, but I'm thinking that it probably won't be the next episode because supposedly the next episode is back in Saviorville, the sanctuary, I think is what they call it.
Yeah.
but probably the next episode, Tara will have to come to it, you know, episode 12. She will probably have to come to terms with her secret because they need those guns, not just to satisfy these creepy people. But also they need them for the battle, the war that's coming. So, you know, she's gotta be pragmatic about it. I mean, if she can convince, or if Rick, you know, the Alexandrians can convince, what's her name? Natania to join them and to wipe out the Saviors. That's the most ideal thing, you know? So that's what should happen. Whether it will or not, I don't know.
I think it would have been inauthentic if Tara had just been, oh, hey, I know where we can find some guns, after she swore and promised and didn't say, I mean, she didn't say anything when she first got back. So I don't think it would have made sense for her to just blurt it out right then, honestly.
I agree with you 100%, but I could still be frustrated that she doesn't say anything. I don't think they're mutually exclusive.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I do. If I understand something, it frustrates me less generally. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if she will, though. I think it's definitely something she's going to wrestle with. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that, I mean, I could practically see the wheels turning in her head when Rosita was doing her one note again. She was banging her single note drum and going on and on about how basically it's me against the world and I'm going to take whatever I have to take. I'm going to do whatever I have to do. And I'm going to burn the world down around me. Kind of is how I felt. So she's basically saying that she in terms that she doesn't know, she's saying to Tara, if I had your secret, I would tell because you got to do what you got to do kind of a thing, basically. And so Tara is like,
Yeah, I wrote down Rosita asks Tara what is her problem.
Oh, yeah, I wrote that down, too.
Yeah, I'm like, no, it's the other way around, Rosita.
Yeah,
you're the one with the problem.
That's almost word for word what I wrote down. Rosita asks Tara what her problem is. How ironic, considering she's the one with the damn problem.
Exactly.
I'm over it. Just beating that dead horse. We get it. You're pissed off. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
Too bad. I don't know. We'd probably be complaining if she got over it too quickly and was no longer mad this episode. But still, I just, you know, didn't your mama ever tell you if you don't have anything nice to say, then shut that up?
Yeah, nobody peed into your Cheerios except you. So, you know, I mean, you're the one that caused Olivia to die. You're the one that caused Eugene to be taken away, you know. So instead of being all biatchy and you know, having a hissy fit all over the place, it's time to grow up. And doesn't she say that to Tara, too? She says, tells Tara to grow up.
She tells her to grow up. Again, oh, the irony.
Yeah.
But whatever. She's kind of, I don't know. She's lame and I'm over it. Over her. I am over her. I did have something to say about the the trash compactor group. I called them the landfillers.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought to myself, well, no, here's what I wrote down. It's a good thing that they didn't intend for him to do it by himself, considering the other group was helping him. But, I mean, who knows what they really intended? Because they didn't really, I mean, they just tossed him into this pit and they were like, didn't say anything. But then this thing comes to life. So I guess you can draw your own conclusions. But I just kind of thought, depending on what they were after, then yes, it shows that the group is determined and willing to do what it takes and that they can work well together and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I was just kind of like, oh, gosh. And I kept hoping that he would just toss the head up after he decapitates Winslow. I was hoping that he would just toss the head up at Jadis, but he didn't. And I was kind of mad about that. I was like, man, missed opportunity.
He could have just, you know, stuck it back on his hand. And carried it up that way.
I don't know.
That was pretty nasty, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't understand why he had to put his hand directly on the nail protrudy thing or whatever that was sticking out there. I was just like, man, did you have to stick your hand directly on the thing that's sticking out? I mean, there was enough space around there. You could have maneuvered a little bit. All I could think about was infection.
Yeah. Tetanus. Watch out. Tetanus.
Yeah. Infection will kill you just as sure as a zombie bite if you can't get it treated. So, I don't know. I just thought to myself, I don't know. The fight just kind of, I was like, I give it a, you know, 4 stars out of 5 or something. It wasn't really that spectacular. It was kind of like, ugh. Like if I were an Olympic judge and I were grading it, I would probably give it a pretty low score because I was like, yeah, you survived, but, you know, not that well. You're surrounded by trash. You can't find anything to, okay, well, I guess I wouldn't do any better, but, you know, I'm not Rick effing Grimes, so.
I got a kick out of, it looked like he took an old white Apple Mac keyboard.
Yeah, what did you think that was going to do against a metal head?
Yeah, because I saw that. I saw that. I'm like, I had one of those back when I used to own a Mac a long time ago. But yeah, so and then I noticed this like old portable, like a PET, a Commodore PET or something like that. It wasn't that, but it was something in that similar vein. You know, probably a 1 hertz processor on that sucker.
So powerful.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. I can't remember anything else I was going to say. So let's
All right. We move on. And I believe this is the last feedback that we got. And it is from Dieta. Okay. She says, different type of episode. I really needed to watch it twice to understand the new group. Why were they talking like they don't know the English language? See previous comments, I say. I know the apocalypse is going on, but did they decide to create their own language? The new group sounded very caveman women-ish, but with a Star Trek-y vibe, I must say. Everybody in black and gray clothing looking all mystical and with bad haircuts. Don't forget about the bad haircuts. All those nice, pretty colored clothes they were standing on, and everyone is wearing black and gray. LOL. And what was with that weird dance thing they did to surround our people? Gabriel didn't abandon the group, but was kidnapped by the newbies. Whew! Because it wasn't looking good. Rick using his detective skills to find them, then Gabriel getting the new group to understand the threat was cool, especially when he explained why he was smiling. Rick gets thrown into the pit of rubbish to fight the Spike Walker and makes a deal with them to fight Negan, but can they really be trusted? The Daryl and Carol reunion was a couple of heart emojis, heartwarming. And a couple of smiley face emojis. He didn't tell Carol about the deaths in the group since she's been gone. Still don't get why she feels the way she does. They all have killed to survive, especially Rick. Rosita is a loose cannon, and so is Richard. Richard, just hold on. Rick is getting his army together, people. What did Negan's people mean when he said things are going to get visceral? Did you catch the look on Tara's face when Rick asks if she's come across anything while she's out with Heath? Prediction alert, I think Tara is going to tell Rick about the gun she saw, or she might try to go back and convince the Oceanside to join them and help defeat Negan. Just guessing this, LOL. And then I added this. Normally we don't add things that we're responding to other people's feedback, but I thought she made a good point here. She says, responding to Kyle's feedback, Kyle, you are on point as always. I totally agree. I think they are trying to turn Carol back into her weak self to match the comic so they can kill her off, because I just don't understand why Carol doesn't want to fight with her group anymore. And that new group I don't trust or like. And I had a couple of points. It's like, aren't they already visceral? So what does that, I have to ask, I have to agree with Dieta here. What the heck did he mean by visceral?
I don't think Gavin is very smart.
Okay.
I don't think he knows what the heck he's talking about.
Yeah.
That's my response to that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'd had a comment here about Tara, but I already talked about her. Great point though on them trying to return Carol to her comic book character so they can kill her off. But the thing is though, like, why'd they keep her character on? They could have killed her at the end of season 6. You know, they had a perfect opportunity. So why'd they keep her on another season? Just for an Ezekiel romance that we still haven't seen pay off? It's, you know, much like, you know, the whole Carol Darrow thing. That's hasn't paid off either. So she says, I couldn't lose you to Darrow, but isn't that what she's doing? I mean, by leaving him and everybody else, isn't she losing them? I really hope that she reaches a new equilibrium, you know. And then another thing Darrow says, I thought was a little, a tad confusing, just a tad. He says, they came, we got them all, made a deal with the rest of them like Ezekiel. And was he trying to say that they came, we beat them, and then we made a deal with the ones that were still around after the ones that they beat? Is that what he meant?
Honestly, I didn't really understand what he was trying to say then either, because I was like, we got them all? What?
Yeah.
So I agree. That didn't really make that much sense.
Yeah.
I think he was just trying to off the cuff figure out exactly what he was going to say. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, if he had just said, you know, if he hadn't said we got them all, just left that out, he could have just said they came, we made a deal with them like Ezekiel did. That would have sufficed. The last thing that came out of her feedback, although I don't know if she actually mentioned this, but it came out of the other thoughts. So Darrow is leaving to go to the hilltop. Is he staying at the hilltop or is he just there temporarily? What do you think?
I have no idea, but my question is, how is he going to carry through on his threat if he's not there?
Yeah, good point.
That was the first thing that I thought. And I was like, well, did he tell anybody? I mean, did he tell someone off screen or something? And we just didn't see it. Otherwise, how is he going to follow through on this threat? What's to stop Richard from doing it as soon as he leaves? I mean, Richard is right there watching him leave. So he can be like, okay, now I can hatch my evil plan. Except for the fact that he said that he couldn't do it by himself. So I guess maybe that's it. But at the same time, I'm like, why wouldn't he say something? I don't know why he wouldn't say anything. And then, I don't know. I guess I just answered my own question. If he's not there, then Richard can't do anything because he can't do it by himself. But at the same time, I was like, you're leaving. You can't carry out your threat of anything happening to Carol. If she stubs her toe or gets fever or whatever, you know, kind of a thing. Gets hit by lightning. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting. As far as Carol goes, I understand why Darrow didn't say anything. I understand why he did not tell her the truth, because as Morgan said, if he had, then she would be there right then with him. And I think he understands what she is going through. Like, he understands her feelings. She feels, I mean, she basically said there wouldn't be anything left of me because she said she couldn't lose anyone and that she couldn't kill. I don't all the way understand her mentality, but I understand that what she's saying to him is that if she did stick around and whatnot, then she would have to do all these things that she doesn't really want to do anymore. And she says, then I would lose myself. Basically, there wouldn't be anything left of me, I think is what she said.
Yes.
So I think she's afraid of maybe just completely changing. She doesn't recognize herself anymore or whatever. And I think the reason why Darrow lies to her is because of what Morgan said, that she would be there and he knows that. And so he doesn't want to, take away her blissful ignorance, I guess. I think someone else asked if she did know and she just was hoping that Darrow would lie to her. I don't think she knew. I don't know how she could. But My question is, because you know this is going to happen, what will happen when she finds out the truth?
Yeah.
Is she going to be mad at Daryl for lying to her? Or is she going to understand that he was trying to protect her and help her keep the, you know, the life that she was trying to give herself, I guess, basically. So I guess that was my take on it. And it's plain to me that she's happy that he's there. So I don't understand her desire for solitude, I guess. That's my main thing. I'm like, why are you so hell-bent on just being left alone? You know, I mean, what's the logic there?
Yeah. It's like Rick and
Indifference. When Rick wanted to be a farmer?
Yeah, I think the episode was called Indifference. I know it was season 4, episode 4. Rick planted that seed in her about, you know, exiling her, and she can't let it go. You know, suddenly she thinks that's what she needs to be, is away from everyone, you know. And I think that's horse hockey.
I thought you were going to talk about it's like when Rick wanted to just be a farmer.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, I guess there's some similarity there. But yeah, trying to walk away from your destiny. And, you know, I mean, Carol was an incredible warrior, you know, just able to do unbelievable things. And, you know, somehow it all got in a feedback loop on her. And, you know, now she's scared of her own shoes, I guess.
Well, you know, like I said, maybe she's just afraid that she won't be able to recognize herself anymore, that she doesn't, you know, she doesn't know who she is anymore. She's doing these things and acting like a person that's completely unlike her, I guess. I really hope that they do not kill her off because of all this.
Yeah.
So-called weakness or whatever.
To me, that is that killer is a part of her. So, you know, she's trying to run away from a piece of her. Maybe she thinks that that's going to, you know, consume her, but I don't think it will. I think that is just, you know, the mama bear, you know, in her that comes out when it needs to. And in the zombie apocalypse, it needs to a lot, you know. I just hope that hopefully by the end of the season, you know, I hope it doesn't go much further than that. She finally comes to terms with herself. And like, I even see the same kind of thing for Morgan, that he, you know, finally comes to terms with himself, you know, similar ways. But I think Carol is worse off, you know.
I think they both need to find an equilibrium.
Yeah.
A balance. So hopefully they will.
Yeah.
Because I like them both. Yeah. But neither of them, I don't understand what's going on with either of them right now. Like, I don't understand why Morgan is acting the way that he is. I don't understand why Carol is acting the way that she is. It's confusing to me. But yeah. Every time I think of Daryl Carol reunion, I always think of that song, Mother and Child Reunion. Mm. It's a mother and child reunion.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're on our own notes at this point, right?
Yeah, I can't. I think there was something else.
Yeah. Well, I will say this, that, you know, as far as Carol, Jerry certainly wanted Carol to have that cobbler.
I know, that was hilarious. He's so cute.
Yeah. And to that, I have to say,
Jerry, you sick with this stick, man?
Jerry.
That was, of course, from earlier in the episode when Ben, you know, disabled, what's his jerk face, Jared,
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and Jerry. But I get a kick out of every time Ezekiel says something to Jerry, it's usually like, "Yes, Jerry," or "Jerry."
Yeah, in his booming voice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He is. He's just adorable.
You can't help but love Jerry.
Can't help but love Jerry. Okay. Yeah, he's one half of an awesome ice cream. Okay. Richard is busily explaining his plan and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he thinks that Daryl is all on board until Daryl's like, "Say her name." I was like, uh-oh, he in trouble now. Because, you know, of course, everybody knows it's Carol. But my question is, I think that Daryl has a very, very good point. He says, after, you know, Richard is opining about how he'd die for the kingdom, and then Daryl's like, "Well, then why don't you?" I'm like, man, not very eloquently put, but an excruciatingly good point. If you're so hellbent on, you know, protecting the kingdom and all this kind of stuff, then if you're so willing to make these sacrifices and blah, 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 why don't you start with sacrificing your own damn self instead of sacrificing someone else that you think no one cares about? Mm-hmm. Like, just because she's off on her own doesn't mean that she's not, that she couldn't survive, A, and that she's not, you know, doesn't have people who care about her. And of course, it's kind of ironic, I guess, that the one person who would never, ever let anything bad happen to her is the one that he's trying to convince to his plan. You know, he almost gets away with it until he says "she." Then Daryl's like,
"Yeah,
like, back up the brakes." Because there's not a snowball's chance in hell he would ever, ever sacrifice Carol or let anything bad happen to her, no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's not going to happen. And so, you know, I really felt for Richard, and I sympathized with him and his plight until he was ready to sacrifice Carol. And I think Ken from Chicago is exactly right. He is Spencer 2.0. And I just, you know, I just don't understand why, if he is, I mean, he keeps opining about we all have to make sacrifices and all this kind of stuff, and you and me were just the same and blah, blah, blah. It's not, you know, the first person to say that to Daryl, but the first person to be wrong. Second one was Morgan, who was right. And, you know, I don't understand his rationale. You know, I guess it makes sense on one hand that Ezekiel cares about this person, and if she gets killed by the saviors, then he will definitely want to take action. I mean, he thinks maybe he'll just, I mean, what if he sacrifices her for nothing? You know, what if he does all this stuff and then Ezekiel is just super sad, but still doesn't take action against the saviors? And just, how can he be so blithe with someone else's life like that? Like, I just don't understand how cold he can. I mean, maybe he's just written her off because she won't convince Ezekiel to do anything about the saviors. And so he's pissed off and throwing a little hissy tantrum and is going to, you know, be dumb about it or whatever. I don't know. But I just, that whole mess just kind of seemed like, oh, Richard, which is why I gave my rating. Because I used to identify with you and understand your struggle, you know, the fight's real. But now I'm like, don't really care what happens to you, bro.
Well, I think that, you know, he's basically not, he's not following his own words. You know, he says he'd die for the kingdom, but you know, that what he's talking about is like, he's sacrificing someone else, not himself. And, you know, but the one thing I will say about that though, that may stop him, is, as just an aside, but it's a good aside, that Richard and Aaron seem to share this. They seem to be the show's current punching bags. Seems like every time something happens, Richard is getting punched out, and Aaron, in, you know, maybe the same episode, is getting punched out.
I know. Poor Aaron.
Yeah. But anyway, getting back to Richard, the question that I had, though, was, is he going to go forward with this sacrifice idea with somebody else? Like, oh, I don't know, Ben? You know?
I mean, I don't think that Ben would ever go through with that, though. I guess Richard would definitely have to... See, I don't know how he could sell the plan without selling the sacrifice, and he definitely won't do it with Ben. Like, Ben won't go for that.
Well, no, that's not what I meant. I meant, you're thinking Ben instead of Daryl. I'm thinking Ben instead of Carol.
Oh. I still don't know how he would pull that off. How could he manage to sacrifice Ben? I don't know. That doesn't seem very plausible. I think his plan falls apart without a willing person to be, you know, guy number two, basically. And I don't know how he's going to find someone to fill that spot. And I don't know how he would find someone to fill someone else to fill Carol's spot. It just doesn't seem like it would really happen, I guess.
Well, you know, the thing that I was just thinking as you were saying that, like, okay, if he brought Carol into it and told her, you know, the situation, and she willingly said, yeah, I'll fulfill that role, I'll survive, then to me, that's totally okay. That completely changes things. But it's the, you know, unwilling sacrifice, you know, the person that is being duped and, you know, or being offered up and they don't know it. That's the problem. But, you know, like I say, if Carol knew about it and said, yeah, I'll do it, then to me, you know, even Daryl can't say anything about that because Carol's, you know, knows about it and she has signed up for it. So, you know.
Yeah, but she's already made it clear that she's not going to go for that. So.
Well, not now. We have to find out if that's going to be the case later.
Maybe.
Yeah, to that end, I guess we, a couple more things I had about Richard and the kingdom. That whole, I think I may have said this before, but I wouldn't be surprised if somebody dies in that next, during that next pickup. Seems like all the chess pieces are in place. And the tension in that cold open, was, palpable. And I'll fess up to something. You already know this, Ruthie, but like originally, you know, we were way behind on getting the show out. And I said, not going to watch this episode until we get our episode out. And I went on to my Dish Anywhere just to see, okay, is it recording? And I just happened to get, you know, 30 seconds of the cold open. I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch it. it grabbed me that much, but, I didn't watch Talking Dead, or do like a subsequent watch until, you know, Monday, but, yeah, I thought that was a pretty good cold open altogether. And another thing, I guess, about the kingdom and as far as Daryl's concerned, that I thought it was a bit of an odd choice for him to leave the kingdom, considering, you know, he's in relative safety. But the one thing that it does that's kind of a brilliant stroke on his end is that it forces Morgan's hand. Because Morgan, I think, has to be the one to convince Ezekiel to fight. He's got Ezekiel's ear, and he seems to be the one person that could convince him. And I think that, you know, Morgan, you know, over the next few episodes has to come to terms with it and has to realize that, yeah, this is the only way. And I imagine something's going to happen that's going to force that hand. And I don't know what it's going to be, but anyway, that's, I think, all that I have to say about the kingdom.
I don't think I have anything else to say about the episode at all, honestly.
Although I did remember last week that I, like, way after we finished recording, I never said what I thought about. I kept talking about a spoiler. It was that I thought that, perchance, this new group were the Whisperers. But yes. Apparently, I don't know if that's the case or anything or what. But that's what I was thinking that they were going to be. And I was concerned that might be too spoilery, even though I've never read the comics. So I don't really know anything about them other than that they're there and they don't say much, I assume, because they're named the Whisperers. And since these people weren't saying anything, I thought, well,
Yeah. Well, you know, an interesting thing about that, well, a couple things. In the episode itself, she said something like, you know, things are changing. We need to change. And, you know, possibly they could change into the Whisperers. And
maybe
I know about their story in the comic. Haven't read it myself, but I do know about it. And they are different, but they are also, there are some similarities, I guess, between the Whisperers and the Scavengers. So, you know, it's possible, but I will say that Pollyanna McIntosh, who I must say cleans up very well. You know, on Talking Dead, I would say that she was hardly recognizable from her character on the show. Anyway, she was asked on, I think it was TV Guide. I could be wrong. But she was asked on one of the, you know, websites if her character is actually, you know, from the Whisperers. And she said that the Whisperers were never discussed with her. So, you know, that doesn't mean that they're not, but they certainly didn't bring it up with her. So I would lean towards the fact that this is an all new race and they have nothing to do with the Whisperers.
An all new group.
What did I say? Race?
Race.
Yes. All new society.
Maybe talking like aliens, but they're not aliens.
Yes.
That's funny.
Darmok and Gillard at Tanagra.
Yep.
Okay, so to that end, and it was something actually I think Dieta said in her feedback. Do you think the Scavengers can be trusted? What do you think?
Not particularly.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that they necessarily can't be trusted, but I don't think that they, like, you know, I don't, it's undetermined at this point.
That's a good way to put it. It's 50-50 or, you know, even 40-60. So they could end up being trustworthy, or they might end up, you know, getting the guns and try to take over. Who knows?
I don't feel like they necessarily have those kinds of ambitions, but they could very well just be the kind of, you know, looking out for number one type of thing. Not necessarily turn on them in that way, but abandon them, I guess. I don't think that they would necessarily go the full mile, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yes. That is all I have to say about this episode.
All right. You guys want to tell us what you think about an episode? You should give us your theories and feedback by going to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. Or you can go and leave feedback in our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. We will have a specific thread for the episode. And the deadline for that is 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, the Tuesday after the episode has aired.
Yes. To connect to us, of course, you can join our Facebook group, as many of you have. And I know Alex was one of the new Facebookers. But anyway, welcome to all. And if you want to join us, we just gave you facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. But you can also join us on Twitter. Walking Dead GSM, that of course stands for Golden Spiral Media, if you don't remember that. If you want to help us out, you can do so many ways. One being goldenspiralmedia.com/support. And you could help us out by giving us an iTunes review and or rating. The rating doesn't take long. The review is very helpful for people. If you could give us a 5-star review, we would appreciate it. And if you don't think we deserve one, then at least be constructive. So just search for us and put in your rating and review in iTunes. Look for The Walking Dead. Might even be able to find it faster if you just put in Talk Through. And of course, don't forget that our campaign for MS is still going on, and that is at goldenspiralmedia.com/MS. That is part of the Geeking Out MS thing that was done during Geekonomicon back in September, but that is still going on, so you can help support MS and wiping it out. Geeking it out.
All right. So, our next episode is Hostiles and Calamities. It's written by We Don't Know and directed by Kerry Scoglin. And the description is, an Alexandrian discovers they must navigate the mysterious, confusing, and terrifying world within the Savior's compound. Presumably, that is Eugene. Poor Eugene.
Poor Eugene.
All right. So, that brings us to the end of our episode. Until next time, I'm Ruthie.
And I'm Brian.
And this is the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.